All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are continuing down our path on getting the offense set up, understanding investments. If you're just tuning in, we've got all kinds of good stuff that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk in more detail about mutual funds, about managed accounts, about annuities. I mean, we're going to get into all this and a little bit about real estate. I mean, all kinds of things. So if you need more information, you should go to roymatlockjr.com and go to the podcast and get on track on that. We put those out every week. You'll have something new coming to you. So anyway, we talked about at the break, we talked about what is an index fund. Now I'm going to talk to you about a value fund manager. A value fund manager tends to buy companies that are out of favor. They tend to buy companies. If you're a real estate investor and you were buying foreclosures, you would be more in line with what a fund manager would be looking for in a value manager type. They look for value stocks. They feel like that they're making their money at the purchase. And what that means is that they go out and they analyze. You know, Warren Buffett is one of these guys that he always said, I never wanted to go to New York or Wall Street because I didn't want to get the noise in my head. So what I want to do, I'm going to stay out in Omaha, and I'm going to value a company. I'm going to look at, I don't want to know the price that the stock market says it is. I want to figure out what it is myself. And so he would go in and value all these companies, and he'd say, I think this company is worth $40 a share. And he would go out there, and then he'd look, and he's like thinking, you know, it's trading for 70 right now. Why would I pay $70 for a $40 company? All right. And so then he would keep analyzing. Then he'd find another one, and he finds that right now the stock market is trading it at 20, but I think it's worth 40. So he starts buying it because he bought it out of favor. In other words, people felt like, man, we don't like this company, da 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 da. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I was at a meeting years and years and years ago in Apple stock. Steve Jobs was coming back. He'd left, and Apple was on the brink of disaster. And one of the fund groups was telling me that the guy said, we did our analysis on it, and Apple was trading for $7 a share. And we calculated it was a good buy because the real estate holdings, we could liquidate all their real estate and get $12 a share. So we knew we had nothing to worry about. We had $12 in collateral and only paying $7 for it. And so you think about that. They went out and they started doing that. That would be a value fund manager. Why do you buy value funds? Value funds tend to be more conservatively managed. That's, you know, so people as they get older and things like that, you want to make sure that you have some value type things in your portfolio because it allows you to have a little bit more downside protection. Because if you're buying it at a discount on the front end, there you go. Now, what's a growth style manager? A growth style manager is going to be buying if you're comparing it to real estate again, we're buying the corner lot downtown, perfect location, and you never get a deal on buying it. And if you're buying real estate like that, you say, I don't care. It's the corner lot downtown. It's the best location, period. So you know what's going to happen? It's going to go up anyway. Now, the value manager is buying 15 miles out of town and saying, hey, we're going to get it at a discount. Nobody knows about this yet, but it's going to, when the city moves out, we're going to make money on it. And so when we go in there, so you have value, you have growth, and then you have index. So those are your different mutual funds that you can go into. Now, we also can go into what are some of the bottom line on the mutual funds? All right, so you can buy what is called a broker fund where you pay a brokerage fee, and you do that, and you pay a fee, and if you leave it in there, it's going to be one of the least expensive ways to purchase investments. Because you pay the brokerage fee once. If you leave it in there for 1 year, you pay the brokerage fee over a year. But if you leave it in there for 20 years, you divided that brokerage fee, in essence, out over a 20-year period. So it becomes a very low-cost way to do it. So don't be confused. I hear these ads that, hey, we're a fiduciary. I'm a fiduciary as well, all right? But don't think that fiduciary means less cost, all right? We're going to get into what a managed portfolio is. And that's where it's very similar to a mutual fund. You go into what's called a managed account. And what a managed account is, whereas mutual funds, you might go into a specific fund family. meaning you go into a Fidelity or American Funds or any of these different ones, all right, and you turn around and you purchase those funds in that family, and they have a broad section of stuff, but you pay a brokerage fee. Now, if you leave that one fund group and you go to another fund group and you purchase again, you pay another brokerage fee. Now, if you choose to do it on your own, you can do that. And if you do that, you're going to be picking all your stocks and bonds and stuff like that accounts. But the long and short of it is a brokerage fee. Every time you make a move outside of that fund family, you pay a fee. So it becomes expensive if you move from one fund to the next. So then you say, well, what can I do if I like that? Well, you can go into what's called a managed portfolio. A managed account is an investment account that the investor, okay, turns over the money to a manager, and that manager, okay, will manage it, and you can have access to anything you want to put it into. And then a broker will sit with you and will negotiate a fee with you to oversee the account. 1% is typical, you know, that goes on. And so what happens is if you want to have some funds and you want to have some real estate investment trust and you want to have one fund from this family, one from that family, and so on, it doesn't matter. It's always the same cost, okay? But there are some differences in the managed accounts, especially if you go into an account where it's a taxable account. So you can actually tell managed portfolio, so don't sell this right now, because I don't want the taxes this year. So you can be timed to minimize tax liability, okay, whereas mutual funds have no control over that. So if you own a mutual fund, the fund manager doesn't ask you. But if you have a managed account, you can do that. So you have a little bit more transparency and control over the assets, okay? The negatives are higher minimums to get into it. Generally speaking, you know, if you're less than maybe 250,000, you probably aren't going to get into a managed account. You can, but the fees become pretty high when you go down low, like any lower than that. And so the negatives are higher minimum investments, okay, and higher fees. The positives are you have access to everything, all right? So a lot of people, they go that way. They call those fiduciary accounts. Now, why do they call them that? Well, they're fiduciary accounts because the fee's the same regardless of the investment. It doesn't matter where you go, where it ends up. If this fund manager's not doing well, you go somewhere else. Doesn't matter. It always works out the same when it comes to that. So that's a managed account. So now the other option you have is you go in and you buy it on your own. You buy individual stocks, which my experience has been most people, I don't say most people, most people, maybe majority of people don't have the time nor the inclination, training, okay, to be able to outperform these guys that are full-time professional money managers. So what I always do is I stick to the funds or the managed accounts, those kind of things. I'm not going to be putting my money in and trying to be smarter than the experts who are out there picking individual stocks and putting it into the funds. And even the experts make mistakes. That's why they only have maybe 3-5% of the money in any one company. Then we have what we call rental properties. What about that? Everybody says, I want to have a rental property, all right? And so I can buy real estate, or you can buy what's called a REIT. And a REIT is a real estate investment trust that owns, operates, or finances income-generating real estate. It's similar to a mutual fund. REITs pool the money and the capital of individual investors, and so the investors then get dividends without having to buy, manage, finance, do all the stuff that goes along with it. So the question is, should you buy a rental property or should you buy a real estate investment trust, right? And when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to talk more about that, and by the end of the show, I'm hoping to get into more details on how annuities work. So if you're just tuning in right now, you can get all the resources of the show by going to roymatlockjr.com. You can download our guide called How Money Works. You can also, our Family Financial Workshop, which is a 3-hour course we did at the beginning of the year that you can just hit a button and we'll send it to you, and you get your kids in there. Gives you some great ideas for your teenagers to learn about money. And also, of course, we have the Roy Matlock Jr. podcast. So with that, stay with us. We'll be right back.